The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This week, issue number 90, Aeon Flux. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. This one starts off a little slow. Just the open felt slow after last week's Eddie and the Cruisers opening. We were just like, what do we do? But it picks up for me. This is one of my favorite podcasts we've done in a while because it really is a comic book store conversation and how we go back and forth. We have different opinions on this movie. Nudie and Pretzel are back, but we don't argue. We actually just have a discussion, and this is like, to me, this is textbook comic book store conversation, just hanging out, discussing the movie, and it's funny listening to it. I actually have a couple more things I want to talk to John about, and we'll bring that up in the next episode, but I had a lot of fun, so let's get into the store so you can hear it. Hey, John, how we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little disappointed. No rock and roll in the store today.
I was going to say, this was a much calmer intro than our show the other day.
Yeah. I actually got you to sing a word.
A word.
The rhythm grabbed you. What was the word you sang last week?
Rhythm is going to get you.
Yeah.
Mean.
Mean. That was your one lyric. And you nailed it. I got to tell you.
I know.
I've listened to it over and over already. You nailed that. I, on the other hand,
waiting for my check.
Yeah.
My royalties check.
Oh, John, this is issue number 90. The countdown is on to 100.
It is.
We are 10 weeks away from 100 issues of the Brightside Chat since we've gone to 2 a week.
Right, yes.
But still, that's 100 episodes, 100.
Yeah.
Plus, we have way more than 100, I think, already now because we've doubled up a week. But 100 issues. Again, are we going to renumber?
Who'd have thunk
it? Not us.
Yeah.
I think we had 100 before we even recorded, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that. What do we have? Anything to go over? Do we have any books to talk about from last week? You didn't make any notes of anything, any favorites.
No, we had a couple of covers that we talked about, but none of them were like standouts. I mean, I guess the Jim Lee is Jim Lee. Like, I mean, he's always...
Which book was that?
Got great art. So the Wonder Woman 759, the Jim Lee cover. It's a black and white sketch cover, but, you know... Like I said, Jim Lee is always Jim Lee. His art is fantastic. So I guess if I had to pick one for the week, that would probably be it.
Ah, I can't find that. That one's not coming up for me, though.
No?
No. I got Wonder Woman. It's saying it comes out June 10th.
Well, that was probably the original schedule.
Exactly.
I don't know. I pulled the image off of Lunar's website. So
okay.
I mean, I would assume it's public somewhere.
I'll take your word for it that it is nice and it, you know.
It is nice.
We usually have the same tastes.
I mean, it's on my Facebook page.
Oh. So. See that? Go to John's Facebook page and you can see the cover. I don't have the opportunity to see it right now. I haven't seen it. You didn't make a note last week, so I didn't get a chance to research
it
in the off time since that last show.
The 3 days since our last show.
Three, four days. Yeah, something like that.
4 days.
So, all right. See, with no rock and roll playing, it just seems flat. I think I'm going to have to get you singing before every show.
Oh, nobody wants that. Believe me.
I do. All right. Let's get some excitement going here.
You know what we have to have in every show? Some Eddie and the Cruisers talk. So,
Have you watched it since the last show?
No, but when I was at dinner, now 3 nights ago, Major League was playing on the TV.
And Tom Berenger.
Tom Berenger, star of Eddie and the Cruisers, was in Major League. And what I thought was funny is that he was chewing gum in this movie, just like he was in Eddie and the Cruisers. So I guess that's his thing. I'll have to go back and watch. At one time in the 80s, he was a little... I guess he had a little bit of stardom, you know, because he was in
Tom Berenger?
Major League. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a big star. Not well, Eddie and the Cruisers. That was early on.
I don't know if he was a big star, but I mean, he had a little bit of heat on him because he was in a bunch of movies. But
Platoon.
Yeah, he was in Platoon. That's what I was going to say. I need to go back and watch Platoon and see if he was chewing gum in that. But yeah, I guess that's his thing. So that's our Eddie and the Cruisers minute for, you know, because we got to have one in every show.
Yeah. So now the pressure's on next week.
We're keeping it alive, man. We're bringing back Eddie and the Cruisers.
Well, we are the bright side, so Eddie and the Cruisers has the dark side. So
there's going to be a surge in Blu-ray sales so that we can get a 4K made.
Because that would be nice.
They're going to be like, oh my God, people, you know, there's a huge resurgence for Eddie and the Cruisers.
Exactly.
We've now sold 7 Blu-rays, which doubles our previous total.
We're selling more Blu-rays than comic books.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Anyway.
So our Eddie and the Cruisers minute brought to you by John Cafferty.
The letter H. Coca-Cola.
The letter H. Oh, my Big Bird?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I have a great Big Bird story.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
When we were kids in Franklin, somebody said, now my buddy Eddie's a huge Larry Bird fan.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a flyer in town saying the Big Bird is going to be at the KFC.
Oh, geez.
So I told him, now this is where the game telephone comes in. I go, hey, right. Larry Bird's going to be at the KFC at 5 o'clock or whatever on Saturday afternoon. So he drove down there. I was probably like 14. He came home. He was 17. He come home. He beat the crap out of me. I was surrounded by a bunch of little kids
and
some
Big Bird.
Jackass and a Big Bird costume.
That's awesome.
He's like, what am I doing here? He's like, I'm looking for Larry Bird. But I didn't tell him what the sign said. I just told him Big Bird would be there.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, not to him. He was like, what am I doing here? And there was a line out the door that he
Oh, he had to wait to get in?
I think he made like 2 steps. He's like, what the hell am I waiting for? I go, you didn't notice like the little kids? He goes, what?
Yeah, everybody... I was going to say they're all kids.
But everybody wants to meet Larry Bird. So what's the difference?
Nobody had Celtic shirts on though. They all had Sesame Street shirts on.
I saw the sign. I thought it meant Larry Bird. I wasn't thinking the big yellow bird.
That's great.
So, oh well. It makes for a funny story. All right.
Now.
Yeah.
36 years later.
That beating wasn't much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways. So, yeah. What was our movie today? Oh, yeah. What was it? Eon Flux?
Eon Flux.
Yeah. You ready to get to this?
I am.
Oh, you are? All right.
Yeah, why not?
Well, let's.
What else am I going to do?
I know. You got a few minutes to spare?
Yeah.
All right. Let's play this trailer. This is completely unedited, so make any comments you'd like.
All right.
And we'll see what happens.
All right.
I waited 400 years for this day. You're needed.
We are in the last city on Earth.
The only society.
Some call it the perfect society. But others know better. Government control is total. People disappear as though they never existed. But there are rebels who believe in freedom. And who fight in the name of the disappeared. I am one of them.
Eon, we have an assignment.
The government's protecting something.
We want you to eliminate Chairman Goodchild.
Do this,
and we will have our victory.
Ready?
Always.
Keep off the grass.
She's coming. Get to a safe place.
Good boys.
Our world is beautiful. Worth preserving at any cost.
You're pathetic.
I'm afraid we're going too far.
This is a war. And people on all sides die.
Amateurs. You may want to duck. I had a life once. Now all I have is a mission.
The trailer wasn't bad.
No.
There's a lot more imagery you don't get in audio only, but they really grab you with a couple of those scenes from how they exchange the pills and stuff.
Yeah.
And her outfits.
Yes.
Which were drastically toned down from the show, the animated series.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a shame. But
yeah, no, I haven't seen the animated series in years. I know that you just recently started watching it again, but
yeah, I grabbed it on. It's on Amazon Prime. You have to pay for it, but I was like, I haven't seen that in years, and I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it regularly. Right, it was just regularly. Like when I was watching MTV, you know, because that's what you did back in the '80s and nineties, is you just watched MTV all day. So it would just whatever one happened to be on. That 15 minutes that it was on, you know.
Yeah, and if you saw...
So it was kind of hard to follow what was going on in the show as a cohesive story because
well,
it
actually,
bounced around a lot.
I found that the movie was very cohesive once you get to the end of it, all right? It felt like at the beginning that there was a lot of stuff that you're like, what's going on here? But it played to the animated series. It gave you some backstory and gave, like, obviously this movie, and we're going to go full spoilers here. This is 2005. So, I mean, before we get to the opening scene, what are your overall thoughts? What did you think of this movie, John? Cause we've got a streak on the line here and I mean, people want to know.
Yeah. So last week we talked about Ghost Rider being, you know, a fairly terrible movie, but it was a lot of fun.
Was this the reverse?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Like, yeah.
It's a good movie, but wasn't fun?
No, it was a terrible movie, and it wasn't really super fun.
You know, okay.
I don't think it got saved by the fact that it was super fun. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, the best thing about this movie is Charlize Theron, and if it wasn't for that... I don't know. I don't think this is a very good movie.
Okay. Nudie and Pretzel are back because I really like it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be trying to get you. I'm going to try to tell you why I like it, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, like, I did find it to be fairly convoluted and it jumped around a lot. Like, I know that they sort of wrapped it up a bit at the end, but I don't think the payoff really made up for it. You know what I mean? Like, I just felt very uninvested in it through the entire movie, and I just didn't think it was very compelling, honestly.
Well, I would agree with you that there's not a lot of investment here because they spent a lot of time probably paying fan service at the beginning to the animated series, and then by the time you get to the story. Where, I mean, there's a kind of a reveal on what's going on here and which characters are good and which characters are bad. And that's about two-thirds of the way through the story.
You're pretty far into it.
But once all of that is figured out, I actually like the story. I like the undertones of what this means and, like, you know, are we meant to be cloned? What does it mean? You know, the copy of a copy. We get into, you know, like we talked last week about turtles. this is a little bit deeper, but that's what I kind of liked about this story in that this is one of those movies that where, what did we do the last few weeks? We did Fantastic Four.
We did Fantastic Four, Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Those were our last couple of weeks.
we did Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, but that's not in this genre. But when, we did, well, even Captain America, First Avenger, that was good. The Matrix is a deeper movie. I would put this on the line of The Matrix, but it's not, clearly not as deep. It's not as good a movie as The Matrix. But this is one of those movies where, like I said, like last week and the week before, we did Ghost Rider and Fantastic Four, and those were fun movies. Leave your brain at the door, have a good time, enjoy the special effects, just enjoy the movie. This one here is more of you need your brain, because if you leave your brain at the door, you're going to be like, what's going on here? It's a deeper movie than maybe I think people wanted, and that's why it didn't play as well.
Well, I don't think it's that. Like, here's the deal. Like, this movie was just it was just over 90 minutes long. Like, it wasn't super long. Like, this is a movie that could have been 2 hours. You know what I mean? And if it was 2 hours, I think it would be a better movie, because I think they could have expanded and done a better job of, like, presenting things to you that wouldn't have felt as, you know, I guess maybe as rushed or convoluted. Like, it wasn't like this was already clocking in at 2.5 hours and they had to make cuts, you know, so people would sit through it. This was only 90 minutes. And, like, I don't know. I think it just felt like that. Like, it just needed more. And there was no reason why it shouldn't have been there, you know?
Well, budgets, probably. Because it's a very, very special effects laden movie. I mean, most of everything
it is for sure, but like, they could have added story that wasn't, like, the things that were missing from it weren't special effects, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not,
no,
things,
but
that
I know what you're saying,
super,
but to shoot,
it probably wouldn't be super expensive to film the parts that it needed, you know?
But that's the, like, thing. I think most of the story needed special effects. Everything here needed special effects in it. Almost. I mean, what did you want? More backstory? I'm not trying to pick at you. I'm just saying, did you want more backstory on, like, her? Or, because
I
thought
felt
the
like
reveal
there was a lot
worked.
Of jumping around, but I just felt like there was a lot of jumping around at the beginning that, was hard. I don't know. It just was a little bit hard to figure out what was going on, like you said. And, like, I just think they could have expanded on some of those scenes and, you know, just made it a little bit more cohesive. And like I said, I don't know, maybe it's budget. Like, I don't know what it cost to make this movie and what they thought it was going to make. But, like, I think the goal of making any movie should be to, like, I guess you've already written the ending, right? Like, if you cut out half the story in the making of it, you limited how much money you're going to make from it. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're trying to recuperate budget because, you know, you're trying to balance what it costs versus what it's going to make, it's like, do you spend more up front to make more later? You know what I mean? It's like, you've already written the ending for yourself because you decided to cut, you decided to scrimp on the making of it. Instead of what you could versus what you could recoup from it if you just put 30 more minutes into the movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, this, like, when we were talking about the last Harry Potter movie a few weeks ago, you know, even Meg brought that up too, where she was talking about the one scene where they were flying on the invisible animals. And it's like, you know, if you just, it wasn't a super long movie, and if you would have just put that extra 5 minutes into it,
that, like, would have been literally 20 seconds.
Right. And what would it have cost you to do that? Like, right. It wouldn't have cost anything extra to film that one more scene that, you know, you already had Harry Potter movies that were clocking in at 2.5 hours. This one was only 2 hours. So, you know, and you left out something that would have taken one more minute of screen time. This was kind of the same. It's like, I can see if, you know, theaters don't like to run movies over 2 hours traditionally. You know, 120 minutes seems to be the sweet spot. But this was only 90 minutes. So, I think they could have just written more. They could have written more to it and made it a little bit gave it a little bit more punch, you know, and put a little bit more meat on the bones. And I think it might have been a little bit better. Because I don't think it was, like, necessarily the performances. Like, everybody did a fine job. Again, Charlize Theron was great. I don't know the name of the main guy there, but I've seen him in a bunch of other movies.
Martin and Zokas.
Okay.
Trevor Goodchild.
Yeah.
And, did like, you Johnny recognize Lee, his brother? Or
Johnny Lee Miller?
From he's Sherlock in Elementary.
Yeah.
He is so young in, here with hair.
Well, I remember him from Eli Stone way back in the day.
Oh, really? What's that? I don't know.
It was a lawyer. I think it might have only had one season, but it was a show that I liked a lot. And he was the villain in one of the seasons of Dexter. So, I've seen him in a bunch of things, and I like him. So, I mean, I thought everybody that was in it did a good job. Like, that's not what...
Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
Oscar winner.
Yeah. Yep.
See? They got some acting chops here. But... Yeah.
And I kept thinking that the Angela Bassett was the, I don't know, the resistance fighter there, but it wasn't her. It was somebody else.
Oh,
I kept thinking.
Sathira,
Sathira, something like that.
Oh,
Sathandra or something.
Sathandra.
I kept thinking she looked a lot like Angela Bassett to me, and I kept thinking that was her. Speaking of her, like I will never, like I've seen this movie before, but I guess. Maybe I can't say never because I already did it once, but like I just can't erase the image of those hands on the feet thing. Like that was creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's one of the things that I liked about this movie that it was, that's all they gave you is like they give you the, and it, to be honest.
Yeah, you should get it done. She says.
Yeah, exactly. So they know they're into, you know, body manipulation and,
right,
you know, the whole genetics thing and they can better you by whatever. They put hands on your feet. And it's that you don't need a ton of backstory there. It's just
I don't
know
how that would even work, but
I don't either. I thought it was kind of one of the weirder special effects of the movie because all they did was show like a hand like and then they'd flash to a close up of the hand on the ground. But then the rest of the time when she was walking, there was always something in the way of her feet so they didn't have to do anything.
Well, it was, you know, the budget again.
Exactly. But that's what I mean. I thought this movie played really well to the source material in that it was loosely based on the source material, the story that is. But I thought they went with that artsy type of theme that it did when the animated series did on MTV. It's like, so I had forgotten most of, like I recognize the show. I know the show. I watched it, like you said, sporadically. But if you remember, having gone back and watched most of the episodes, there's only like, I think there's like 18, 15 of them or something like that, whatever it is. And the first six are only like 7 minutes long.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They weren't long. They just played as filler between music videos.
Right. So, and those six are one-offs. I think she dies in every one.
Oh, really?
Eon dies in like almost every one of them. And in all of those, she's almost like an Inspector Gadget type spy. Like she keeps screwing up and then she gets killed. Right. So, but then she's back in the next one. And then they decided to make a season out of it and the story plays out, but it's still the animated series is just as convoluted as the movie.
Right.
But it's more of, I think that's the idea. It's more of a artsy type of a feel. And I thought the movie played to that. And like they opened the movie the exact same way the animated series opened with the eye and the fly.
Right.
And her eyelash catching the fly. And that's like, it's funny.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that was cool.
And I had forgotten that until obviously till I hit play on the movie and I was like, oh yeah. And then I started watching the show and I was like, yep, every episode, there we go. But I liked that. And then I liked that idea that 2/3 of the way through, you get this much deeper of a movie than you were expecting. And like I said before, I think that's the stuff that people weren't expecting. They were expecting a Ghost Rider type movie. Like, let's have some fun and watch Charlize Theron run around in her underwear. Yeah. And it turned out to be a deeper movie than that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I just felt like for instance, Johnny Lee Miller's character. Like, I just didn't think they really did a good enough job of explaining his motivations for wanting to, you know, it's just like, oh, well, I just want to keep doing everything the way we've been doing it. It's like, well, that's not really a good reason.
You don't know his motivation?
You know.
So here's the part that this is what I liked about it. So Johnny Lee Miller wanted to keep going the way they were going because he was basically immortal. They kept living on and on.
Right, well, I get whereas, it, but it's like
his brother was trying to find a cure so that they didn't have to do that, and then they could then their life would you would die. And there would not be a clone to replace you. So you did not keep living on and on. So it was basically between Trevor and Oren, their battle was the do we clone or not clone, and should we be immortal or should we not?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, who wants that? You know, it's like, well, you've lived 800 years already, and you've done the same thing every day for 800 years. Like, I don't know. It's like, I just don't. Like, I don't know. Who wants that? You know, I just don't think that's a good enough.
What do you mean that's not good? Like he wants to live forever.
But, like, way back when it first, before they really had even done all that, like, he decides that he shouldn't clone the wife, you know, Catherine or whatever her name was. But it's like, why? Like, you didn't know what all that stuff that was going to come ahead. You know, you hadn't lived, you know, it hadn't happened yet. So,
well,
like,
they had cloning at the time of, like, when the virus hit. Oh, speaking of which, why don't we touch on that for a second? How, like, apropos
well, that
is that to today?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
like,
yeah,
a virus wipes out 99% of the population, and this is how they survive. And you're like, I'm like, I'd forgotten this part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's a little on the nose.
It was pretty, it was pretty timely. that's for sure.
But so they had the technology for cloning at that time. The Keeper, played by Pete Postlethwaite.
Yeah.
Remember him from Usual Suspects?
Yep.
He was the lawyer. Yeah. But he was the Keeper, so he's the one that kept.
He saved her, right.
Right. He kept her alive, and which means they saved her DNA to clone her again to bring her back, and they didn't bring her back until this movie.
Right.
So she has been dormant that whole time, whereas in the comics, she just kept coming back because she kept dying.
Right.
Or not in the comics, in the animated series.
In the animated series.
But that's the part to me, it's like that whole idea, like you said, like you're like, why are they doing this? And that's why you don't like the movie is because you think Johnny Lee Miller's character is like, why would he do it? Well, I get some people want to be immortal, but that's I think it's deeper than that. It's the question.
That's
of,
what
it's
I'm saying.
The
there
battle
no
of do we should we try for this as a people? Now, aside from the movie, should we be trying for immortality?
No, I don't think so.
But doesn't because that seem like the goal of all medicine is you're trying to cure everything, and if you can cure enough things, then you're immortal?
I guess the thing is like, all right, there's an old Star Trek episode from the original series where they go to a planet that has their medicine has evolved to the point where they've basically eliminated death, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're in a building, and they're having this conversation. And, like, when they get to that point, you know, it's cheesy because it's a 60s show. But, like, basically, like, the blinds go up on the windows or whatever. And you can see outside. And there's just a sea of faces in the window. And it leaves you the impression that basically the entire planet is so full of people.
Right.
That they can't even walk around anymore. They're just basically all blocked in because nobody ever dies and people keep being born. And so the population is to the point where there's not even one square inch left, which I don't know how they're populating any more people. If you can't move, I don't know how you're having sex to have more babies. But
you're cloning. But
so that's the thing. So And now, obviously, in this movie, that's not necessarily the case because they're not having new babies. They're just bringing back the same people over and over again. So I guess that would be my thing, is like, do you want to have fresh new ideas, or do you want to just have the same idea over and over and over again for eternity?
Exactly.
And well, so I awesome. Don't think you should, right? I don't think you want a clone because you stagnate, right? And that was my, that's my point with, say, like Johnny Lee Miller. Like, do I want to live 800 more years just to do the same thing day after day over and over and over again?
Right.
With the same people? Like, it's Groundhog Day to the nth degree. You're just doing it over and over and over again. And that's why I'm saying, like, there wasn't a good enough reason. Like, it doesn't say, like, I want to do this over and over again so I can reach X place or X goal, or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to keep on going so I can get to a certain destination. I just want to keep doing the same thing over and over again every day. And, like, I just didn't see what, like, what's the reason for that? Like, who, I don't know why you want to, don't you get tired of doing the same thing for 400 years over and over again? You know? So.
I would suppose, but here's the thing. Trevor, the Martin character, played by Martin Zaukas, he started this, but he started it with the best of intentions. His intentions were to save the human race, right? Obviously, he's saving his brother as well. Him and it was a team effort because they had to teach each other. So you'd clone one, and then the brother would teach them, and you'd leapfrog your way through time. That's right. How they kept – that's according to the movie. That's how they got through time.
But right? His end game was not to continue cloning forever.
Correct.
His goal was to find the cure so that they could naturally conceive, and evolution would take its natural course. So, right. I mean, I think that's a pure – like, that's a more pure goal or motivation – for what he was doing.
So,
because his goal was actually, the intent was to save the human race and not just preserve the same seven people over, you know what I mean, over and over again.
Right. With the best intentions, usually comes some corruption, right? So when I was on the Alchemical Mind podcast, that's Martin's podcast, it's not on the Nerdy Legion, but it is on any podcast provider. Wow, I am stumbling over my words. Well, here.
Right. You and me both. Buddy,
I know.
So.
But anyways, when we were on that, we talked about, like, when you get power, power corrupts, blah, 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 blah. But that's what happened here, and you have the two brothers. So Johnny Lee Miller's character, Orin, he started with the best intentions with his brother, but then he was like, you know what? He did like his life. He didn't want to die. He became afraid to die. You could say that. And he just wanted it to go on. And then what happens is Una, Eon's sister, she actually was successful. She was pregnant.
She got pregnant.
Right. And they killed her because that was the cure. That's what they'd been looking for. And that's the part of this movie that I really liked, because it's that thought-provoking idea of, like, you have these two brothers that they're basically, you know, yin and yang here. One's evil, one's good, and that's what's going on. And then it asks the question, should you be trying for this? And like he said, they had the best intentions, but it comes a time, and that's when Trevor, the character, said, you know, we had our time. Whether we have a cure or not, it's time to die.
Right.
And it's sad to say that to an entire race of people, but what else are you going to do? And, you know, especially when you have... when it's been corrupted by his brother.
But he didn't know that Una had been pregnant, right?
Who didn't? Trevor?
Trevor, yeah.
Trevor didn't know that she was pregnant. The brother found out. Johnny Lee Miller's character found out first.
And had her killed.
And then, obviously, as the movie's playing out, you see that they're erasing all the notes. They're erasing all the evidence that on how they got the cure. So what seemed like, you know, weird stuff going on at the beginning, if you go back and watch it again, knowing the outcome, you'll probably find that there's more information there on what's really going on. And like I said, I think this movie is a little deeper than people wanted it to be, because this is an MTV type movie and you weren't expecting this. So you know, if people left their brain at the door, you kind of left unarmed.
Right.
When you get
to this part. Well, I don't know, because I don't even remember how this was received, to be honest with you. I don't know was considered a hit or not.
No.
Yeah.
No, it didn't do well. It didn't make its budget back. Its budget was like just over $60 million. It didn't even get that back worldwide. So it didn't do that well. I think it's – I don't even know if it has a cult following. I wasn't expecting much when I went into this. I know I was entertained by it the first time I saw it, but it's – I wasn't expecting much. But this time here on this watch, I actually really enjoyed it, and I found it to be deeper than I thought, and it's probably from talking to Martin so much. But there was another thing you said just a minute ago. I can't remember how you put it, but you were talking about like you're doing the same thing over and over. And I think that's one of the problems that they had, in that where we die right now, like in like you and I have an idea, we live our life. It goes on. Whatever you say, you invented something great. Somebody in the future takes that and adds to it.
Right.
They were trying to find a cure in this movie with the same people.
Exactly.
So you have no opportunity for a fresh mind to look at this problem.
Right.
You know, so that in itself is another.
It's flawed.
Right. Yeah. It's a flawed theory. I mean, they did it, but again, that doesn't mean the movie is flawed, but that is showing the flaw in that thinking and the flaw in clonings, and that it would be great to just be cloned. Well, not really.
Right. You know, well, it's that old saying, right? Like, the definition of insanity, right, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so that's right. It's the same people doing the same thing.
Well, I don't know if they're
doing... For 700 years and hoping that...
Right. But they did find the cure. They did.
Well, did they find the cure, or did evolution, like, did she just,
no,
like, did evolution naturally take over and she, you know, life finds a way, like, you know,
it could have been
Jurassic Park. So
according to his notes, that's why they destroyed everything. Like, he had found the way, and she was the evidence of it.
Right.
So, but you're right. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to go back and watch the movie again.
Yeah.
But
I don't remember either. And, you know, maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention, but I wasn't 100% sure if it was science or if it was just evolution, you know, evolution naturally took its place or took over after 800 years, you know.
Right. But now that they had the cure, they had to pull the plug on the whole cloning idea. And that's where this movie, that's where the battle took place in this movie, was over pulling the plug.
Well, but there was one line where I don't even remember who said it, but I remember the line that said natural births are rare or few. And like, I got the sense that she wasn't the first one, because they made some kind of reference to the fact that they were rare, but that would indicate that they had happened, you know? And again, I might have to go back and rewatch it, but I remember hearing somebody say that.
People think they're having natural births.
Well,
they're not.
Everybody thinks they are.
Right.
But except for the few in charge, I guess. But
right.
I don't know. I thought I heard somebody, one of the brothers, say that, and maybe I'm remembering it wrong. But I don't know. In my mind, it planted the idea that it was rare, but it had happened before. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, because I don't know that movie inside and out. So.
Well, I have to quote you on that. It's a podcast.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I could be wrong.
No, I know. I know.
But like I said, I do remember, I don't know, it sticks in my mind that I think I remember somebody saying that.
Maybe. I don't remember it myself.
Yeah.
So just off of those life-changing, in-depth questions I asked and presented you, does that maybe want to give you the idea to maybe give it a rewatch?
I mean, I'm not saying that I'll never watch this movie again, but like, I'm not dying to go rewatch it again right now. Like, you haven't really changed my mind that much. But, you know, again, it's one of those, you know, once again, I'll watch Charlize Theron run around in her underwear for 90 minutes just for that alone. So
leave the volume down.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I stumble across this movie again, it's not like I wouldn't watch it. I don't hate it. I just don't think it's very good. And I think it just doesn't benefit from having that fun factor that Ghost Rider had. Like, Ghost Rider was a bad movie too, but it had a charm because it was.
I think this is a better movie than Ghost Rider. And I just think it's not as fun.
Yeah. I feel like, to me, this one doesn't have the same benefit of being, you know, quirky and charming.
Right. Well, it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, based off the animated series, that's not quirky and fun either.
No, it's not.
Right? It's a deeper, darker series that was just meant as, for all intents and purposes, it's based off of shorts that had no dialogue.
Right.
You know? And so when you turn that into a 90-minute movie that can create some, you know, thought-provoking ideas, I think, in my book, that makes it a pretty good movie. You know, and it's not like, if you want to talk about the special effects, I thought the special effects were a little green screeny at times, but it was 2005. They weren't horrible. They weren't, you know, I thought it was a better produced movie than Ghost Rider. I thought it was a better acted movie than Ghost Rider. But that's not a far stretch there because
Ghost Rider,
you know what I mean? But I do agree with you. This isn't a fun movie. It's not meant to be a fun movie. So, I mean, I can agree with you there, but that doesn't mean I think it's a bad movie. I actually think it's a pretty good movie if you look at it in that light, if you go into it thinking of it that way. I'll tell you another thing with the special effects. I thought they did a great job of integrating Charlize Theron and maybe her stunt double or whatever to get her character to move the exact same way, or at least as a represent the character from the animated series.
Yeah.
Because the character in the animated series had that, you know, the long legs, and she wore that leather like belt up her crotch, not around her waist, but you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
And everywhere she went, she just jumped and moved like a gymnast in the animated series. And her legs were like, she would grab things with her toes and use them for bounce, much like that grass scene when, you know, Charlize Theron went flat on her face, but she wasn't hitting the grass. But watch all the jump scenes and how she jumps through the air and does her cartwheels and everything. It's a good representation of the animated series, I thought.
Yeah, well, she has that, like the Spider-Man scene where she's climbing up the side of the building, which was...
Yeah.
I don't know. That looked funny to me, though. I don't know.
I thought it was green screen-ish.
Yeah, because that really looked like she was superimposed on the building. Like, I don't think they did a great job with that, but... But yeah, I mean, obviously she had some kind of enhancements or was altered. Like, she didn't have hands on her feet, but she definitely moved and was able to do things that, you know, most people couldn't do, even with
catch a fly with her eyelash.
Well, that, but like the way she, like the grass scene where she kept herself basically in the air with just her feet on, like, nope. Nobody can do that. So,
but that's the idea of the. That's also like when you're watching the show, you're wondering: is she a cyborg? Is she cybernetic? You know, does she have enhancements? Like, and when you meet the woman with the feet, you know, hands for feet, you know that they can manipulate.
Right.
Anyways, so what manipulations does she get?
Right. That's what I'm saying. They never really say. But, you know, obviously it's implied that she had some enhancements or something done to her. Because most normal people couldn't move that way.
No, no. But that's the idea of how she is on the show, too. I mean, she was an enhanced spy. And, you know, I think they were going off of the show was the backstory. You have an idea of the character, and we're going to take these characters from the show, and we're going to create a world around them in this situation, what they gave us. Did you know Demi Moore was considered for the lead role?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I saw that on IMDb. I thought that would have been cool.
Yeah, although I mean, I'm sure she would have been fine.
I don't think she's as long and lanky as Charlize Theron is, which I think you really need to be for this role.
Well,
that gets back into everything I just said.
Well, and even saying that, according to like the Wikipedia, the first actress considered was Michelle Rodriguez, who definitely doesn't have that. Like, and I like her too. Like, she's
Her. I just don't think
she doesn't have that body type either. Like, she's a lot more like squat and like stocky. Not that she's fat, like, but you know what I mean. Like a little
No. She's shorter. She's not as her. I don't find her legs to be as long.
That long.
Charlize Theron, the way body. She moved in this, like going up the side of that building, was like. Like a spider, like Daddy Long Legs type spider. Her arms and her legs, the way she moved around, and she didn't. Wasn't there a scene where she ran across the lawn like that or something, like to dodge the bullets? So I mean, which comes right from the animated series,
right? So here's, I guess, so most of the people that are being cloned aren't aware that they have been cloned. That you know that they exist. But
right.
Trevor and Oren, how do they remember? Like, I'm sure they mentioned it, but I don't remember.
I said that earlier. Remember, they leapfrog their way through. They teach each other.
That's right. Okay.
They teach each other. So, like, they actually, that way they can leapfrog through time and learn everything that they learn about their past so they can carry on and keep the research going. But the problem is, like I said earlier, it's like, but you're using the same mind to work the same problem, and that's probably why it took the 800. They're not bringing new people into it, because if you did that, you'd have to tell other people what's going on.
Right.
And
but they're
only
the only,
a small
but they're
circle.
The only, they're the only two, right? Because in theory, even though all these people are being cloned, they're completely different people every time. Because they are being raised by different parents. Like, they have different experiences. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have this like some kind of sense memory in the back of their mind. They're having dreams from their past lives. But they're not the same people over and over again. Like, what I meant. So, actually, what I said before wasn't really correct. Because the only two that are, maybe three or four, there's only a very small handful of them that are being, like, directly copied from life to life. So, in theory, they could bring other scientists or people they could bring in to work on the projects could be fresh minds and different people, because they're technically all new individuals once they've been reborn, because, you know, they learn different, they have different,
thoughts. But they're not bringing those people in.
Well, right, but that's the way that they could
bring. Because then they'd have to let their secret out on what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well,
there's only a few people that the one question I had was that the keeper guy, the really old guy, like, has he been cloned and duplicated, or did he find a way to live that long? Because he was like dying to die.
Yeah,
by
but
the
I
end
would,
of the movie,
I would imagine he would have had to have been cloned. And the same thing,
not,
it would have had
he'd
to,
have to be 400 years old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's impossible for him to have lived that long. But who was teaching him? Because he's like the keeper of all knowledge, right? So,
right.
Who was teaching him in each subsequent life everything he knew from the previous life? You know, it had to have been one of the brothers, I guess.
Maybe. I mean, I agree with you that there are holes in this movie. And there was a thing on IMDb about the director, Karen, what's her name? Karen Kusama or something. Uh-huh. But she was fired after finishing the movie.
Oh, really?
And then the studio put out their version. They recut a movie, and it was like, it was only 71 minutes long or something. And it didn't do well. So they said, hey, can you come back and help us out? And so she came back, but they made her take a bunch of her plot points out, including that there was supposed to be a gay character or something. And so you could see, like, I think the studio went, I think this is one of those movies that I have a feeling that the studio wanted a PG-13, but in actuality, if you watch the animated series, this should be a rated R movie.
Right.
And I think they were trying to make an adult rated R movie out of an animated series, and the studio was arguing back and forth, no, this is a, this is off of a cartoon. We're going to make, you know, the suits are saying it's a cartoon. So we're going to make this for kids. It has to be PG-13, blah, 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 blah. And that's where you get, you know, your chopped up movie.
Well, that's, it's too many, right. It's too many cooks.
Right.
And the same thing that happened with Justice League, right? It's like, that's what happens when the studio gets too involved in the creative process. Like, there's right. a reason why you're a suit in the studio and you're not the director, because you don't know how to do that. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. But and, the suit will tell you there's a reason I'm the suit, because you wouldn't have any money to make your movie. So
right.
it's a two-way street. And it's like listening to the extras on Logan are awesome on how you find out, like, how important that was to be a rated R movie. And that it's like you get out of that whole world of, we're going to make a Wolverine doll out of this. We're going to make right. toys. We're going to promote this. And so when you have, you know, Flux comes out and they're like, oh, we could have a Barbie doll line. We can do all of this. So they're trying to promote it and they're trying to make money elsewhere, and they end up ruining the original movie. Right. So, but I still think that there's a story here that, yeah, you're right. Maybe if it was fleshed out more and could have been maybe 2 hours long and the studio left it alone, we'd all be loving it. But I think there's some good undertones here that still create a conversation that I thought was pretty cool, and I thought we have had fun talking about.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we definitely did. I mean, if nothing else, we had some back and forth on it, but...
And we have Charlize Theron coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll be talking about her in Old Guard.
Yeah, which I just read. I read the first issue last night.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to get in tonight and finish the rest of it. But yeah, it seems good so far.
The latest series or the...
No, the first series, the original.
Oh, the first... Yeah, I read the first... I'm waiting for the latest issue to come out, which I think is the 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good story. By the time you're done with it, if you finish it before the movie comes out...
Oh, I will, yeah.
Yeah, watch... Yeah, you'll know the trailer looks like it nails it.
Yeah.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll make a point. I want to... That's why I started reading it. I want to have it read before I watch the movie, so I'll definitely have it read by then. See, that's funny, because I'm, again, on the Wikipedia, under the critical reception, it says, screenwriters Hay and Manfredi assert in an interview that the film was recut by the studio and that the original director's cut contains nearly 30 minutes of additional footage, which gives it that extra 30 minutes that I'm looking for, you know?
What was that? Can we get that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where's the Snyder cut? Where's the Kusama cut of Aeon yeah. Flux, you know? And again, maybe it's a better movie, you know, if with that original 30 minutes or that extra, because if you cut, that's 25% of the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what did you lose by cutting that out? And like, it's like Swiss cheese. Like if you chop 25 minutes out of it, it's like things, there's threads that don't connect back together again. They can't.
Right.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think it's missing that 30 minutes. I feel like they cut 30 minutes out of this movie when I watch it.
Right, but I think the undertones are still there.
Well, I think the premise is, yeah, obviously, it's the same thoughts are there, but I think there's just missing information that
right.
I think could have helped it. Could have helped this movie a lot. And my thing is, here's the thing, too, right? If that 30 minutes exists, and they cut it out of the movie, that doesn't help the budget, because they already made it. So, you know what I mean?
The
money was spent. So the cutting it out doesn't serve any purpose other than to shorten the movie, or, you know, shorten the length of the movie, which I don't know why you would want to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't saving the budget at all, because they filmed it and spent the money. I don't know. And again, that's the studio going in and recutting it. And that's the suits messing with the creatives. And, you know, we don't know, obviously, the background of every movie we've ever seen, right? Like, I'm sure it happens all the time. But I would argue that the movies that we think go down in history as the better movies are probably the ones that are least interfered with by the studio execs and are left in
well,
the hands
yeah,
of
Well, yeah, or they're all on the same page.
Right.
Right. Exactly. But a lot of times you'll get, like, well, take Rocky, for instance. What they wanted to do to that movie, and he wouldn't let them.
Right.
It's like they didn't want him in it. Right. And, you know, he was like, no, this is my movie.
Right, I wrote this. It yeah, for me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm making this movie. So there comes a time when it's like, you know, and I, you know, people can say that Stallone's a bad actor or whatever, but that I, a lot of respect for that.
Right.
In his entire career since then, you just have to be, you know, like he is truly one of those guys that could have been a starving artist.
Well, right. You and know, especially in a time
he's
where
true to the form
in a time where like when that movie was made, he didn't have any clout. You know what I mean? Like he didn't have any weight to throw around because he was a struggling nobody.
Right.
So
that's what I mean. He could have been the starving artist guy. If that fails, but he would have failed on his own terms, much like, you know, I hate to say it, I'm going to compare you to Sylvester Stallone. But like you said, when this whole virus thing started, you want your store to fail because of you.
Right.
Not because of something like that.
Right.
You know, it's like you want to go out on your own terms. It's your idea. You made it. And it's like, let's see where it goes. Not be destroyed by something ridiculous like that. And that's Stallone was like, I'll live or die by my idea. And that's what an artist, that's where the term starving artist comes from. It's like, they don't care about the money. They're just doing it for this. And then lo and behold, look at what he turned into.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, somebody finds that pet rock and you're good. But that's one of these things. I think this is that movie that, you know, it missed because they tinkered with it so much. And I really feel like I've said it many times already. I love these undertones. I love the conversation you can have from this movie. And if they ever came out with a director's cut, I'd be ecstatic. I'd be like, all right, we got more. A little bit more backstory here.
Well, I would definitely go back and watch a director's cut of it because I feel like it would make it a better movie for me. I don't think we'll ever get it, knowing that the movie lost, like, there's no incentive for them to ever do that. I don't think it recovered any of its gross in DVD sales either, so.
No, probably not.
Oh, here it is. As of July 2006. Oh, well, that was 14 years ago. It had grossed $31.8 million in rental sales. So actually, it did recover the rest of its budget in DVD sales. And then I would argue in the last 14 years,
it's made
a couple more bucks. You know, to the point where, I mean, even Hulu had to pay some amount of money to get the rights to show it. So it has probably recovered its money at some point, but not to the point where they're going to go back and tinker with it and put out a director's cut.
Well, like you said,
I don't think anybody's asking for it. So
we just did, and look at what we've done. Look at what we've done to Eddie and the Cruisers.
That's true. We do have it is a movement. So
I mean, it's been over an hour since we talked about them. I think maybe there's a third movie in the works by now.
Yeah.
No, but like you just said, the all the stuff is there. If they want to recoup more money, they could come up with a direct, you know, just throw the director's cut together and, you know, throw out a special edition and, you know, double dip, hit everybody up again. I'd buy it.
Well, you know, maybe we've revitalized it.
All right. Let's get the chatter going. Everybody get out there. Get on the Eon Flux chatter.
Yeah, let's get a hashtag.
Yeah.
Release the Kusama cut.
Exactly. Speaking of those cuts, I know we've had a DC blockade for a while. Did you hear about the what is it, the air cut? Is that his name?
Yeah.
For Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Well, the only one spearheading that is Ayer himself and the guy that played Boomerang, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was more than that.
He's the vocal majority. Like cuz he wants his cut to be shown. You know, again, I'd watch it.
Of course.
I don't think that's one, like, HBO Max has already kind of gone on record saying, just because we're doing it with the Snyder Cut doesn't mean we're going to do it with every other movie we've ever made. So,
actually, one of the things I read is they were considering it, but it's based on the success of Snyder Cut.
So, right. So I guess it depends on what that does for them. And again, how are they going to judge... How are they even going to judge what the Snyder Cut does for them? Because everybody has everybody has a subscription to this already for free. So it's not like it's going to bring them a lot of extra money.
Yeah, but by the time this comes out, it won't be for free. And they can judge it by social media, too. They'll judge it by the talk, the conversation, because I have a feeling they haven't announced it yet, but I have a feeling this isn't going to come out in a binge form. What, I think the Snyder Cut.
Well, it depends on what it takes. Like you said, it could just be a 3-hour movie, which obviously would come out in a binge, but if they decide to break it down into individual episodes.
Well, he said it was
going to
be a 4-hour movie. It would be a four-hour movie or broken up into 6 episodes.
Right. Obviously, and if they do the episodes, it would benefit them to do it like weekly.
Episodic, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then you put it out as a 4-hour movie on Blu-ray. Right. And you're double dipping all over the place there, which I think this cut with the word of mouth that you're going to get from, whether it's good or bad, to be honest with you, the conversations you're going to get where you do episodic, it's just going to be insane.
Right.
And that's our DC minute.
Yeah. And that's all they're getting. and they should be happy they got it.
Exactly.
We were happy to get it.
Because we're the bright side.
That's right. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
All right. Is that all we got on Eon Flux?
That's more than I thought we were going to get. So, yeah, I think that's it.
I told you I liked it. Hopefully I changed your mind even just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
All right. That's all I wanted.
Yeah,
that's good enough for me.
All right.
All right. What do we got coming up on Wednesday for new comic books this week?
We have Deceased Dead Planet issue number 1. And that's, I didn't put it on here, but I think it's a 3-issue miniseries. Then we have Skylin number 1, and then Oblivion Song 25, which is like their big anniversary issue. So, that's it.
What's the Skylin one?
It's Image. Not sure exactly. I know it's an Image number 1 though.
Well, that's it for this week. Between now and Thursday, you can find us on Twitter at brightside_chat. You can
only those email 3 days?
Well, you can keep in touch with us is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Look at you. Usually you just sit there and be quiet while I do these, and now you're all of a sudden
you want more interaction.
Chirping.
So
yeah.
Well, be careful what you wish for.
I didn't ask for more interaction. you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com, or you can, I was waiting for more
you
comments.
You wait for more interaction, yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting for something.
I don't know where I come in this, I don't know where we are in the hierarchy of social media channels right now.
Who?
Like, what, I don't know what comes next. Facebook? Email?
We haven't given out Facebook in forever.
Well, I know. But that's usually what you want me to do. So when you pause, what you want me to do.
Nope. I was just going to say you can find us on Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com along with a bunch of other great podcasts. John, did you check out my Jaws podcast from last Friday?
Yes.
On my home theater podcast, Brightside Home
Theater.
Great.
Best one yet.
Oh, I don't know about that. You're so kind.
I
Speaking
know.
Of being kind, you can go on iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe and be
look
kind
at that.
To us.
Look at that segue.
Hey, look at us.
It's almost like you planned it.
I didn't, actually.
I know.
So, all right. Getting punchy here. I'm having trouble even speaking my words. That's it. We will see you guys on Thursday. Have a great week. Take it easy.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X.
and also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.